Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So welcome to Triple Captain, a very interesting episode of Triple Captain. I don't even know how we begin this podcast, to be honest, because there's nothing been happening at all in the world of FPL. As it stands, I'm currently number one in the game week with my 0 points, but I think I'm level with the other 7.5 million players in this game. But we're still going to be doing the podcast because we think we need to deliver our service to you, the good listener, every week. I think that's a fair thing to say, don't you think, chaps?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom going around, and we should try our best to remain positive.
I think our voices are quite soothing. Our voices are quite soothing and comforting, aren't they? So, you know, it's nice to still be able to see you. I mean, we've always done it in self-quarantine, in self-isolation, haven't we, this podcast? So there's no change for us at all, except the main subject of our podcast is no longer valid, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll roll with the punches and we'll just talk about what everybody else is talking about at the moment. So how's your week been, chaps?
I'm just eating an omelette because I've just had it delivered from my friend's cafe that she runs, because obviously with this new announcement of stay away from restaurants and cafes, but we're not forcing them to close. People are kind of trying new methods. So she's just delivered me an omelette.
Yeah.
Just helping to support.
I think that's the main thing, isn't it? Like, people have still got businesses to run and that sort of thing. Like, I mean, you know, we don't make our money out of this. We've got money coming in from other ends. But then, you know, people like your friends who runs the cafe and that sort of thing, like, people aren't going to be going to see them, or people are definitely going to be, you know, affected by this virus and going to see them.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I mean, particularly in my industry at the moment, there's a lot of worry and panic because theatres are closing without being forced to, and there's insurance issues, and actors don't know if they're going to be getting paid. Obviously, Daisy, my fiance, is in a show at the moment that's on tour, and that's been cancelled for the next few weeks, and they're waiting to see if they're going to be paid or not. You know, I was teaching at Lipa, and the face-to-face teaching's been suspended at the moment, so we're trying to work out a way to get lectures and things like that online, which is very, very difficult when you're trying to teach acting, because you need people. It's practical. You need people in the room. It'd be like, you know, trying to teach football online. You need people there. So it's I think it's worrying times ahead, and so
you're still Sorry, I was going to say, you're still speaking to people at Hollyoaks, obviously. Like, what's going on there? Are you allowed to tell us what's going on?
It's just business as usual at the moment, until they're told, you know, they fit into the category of you still go to work. It's non-essential travel and non-essential contact that you have to avoid. So any kind of socialising is basically what the current advice is, isn't it? Whereas, so everybody else, if you haven't got symptoms, you still go to work and carry on for now. So I think at the moment it's business as usual there, with kind of knowing that they'll eventually have to close down for a bit. Because there's a lot of people that work there. Ultimately, it's just very uncertain times, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, at Radio X, it's really strange because a few presenters are off sick at the moment, not with coronavirus, but, you know, self-isolating or with other sicknesses. Mm. So, like, presenters are just getting thrown all over the schedule at the moment. Thankfully for me, it's kind of worked out that I'm doing a bit more of, like, a sociable hour. So we're actually recording the podcast at a decent time. And if there was football on, we would have made a smashing podcast where I wasn't falling asleep. But, yeah, it's weird. I mean, I got an email from the boss earlier saying, can you send us what your internet speeds are, with the idea that we might have to do some broadcasting from home, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, my girlfriend's a breakfast show presenter, and she's already been given the kit to be able to do it from bed if needs be. She just had me there snoring in the background.
It's absolutely insane. Like, you never would have thought it would come to this. I mean, we're not going to broadcast from my kitchen. Like it's not going to happen at all. It's a national radio station. I mean, and it's different with Chris Moyles because they make it into a thing. But Chris Moyles is producer, goes out with Toby, who's been on the podcast before, and he's self-isolating at the moment and thinks that he's got it. And Pippa and Toby live together, so she can't go into the studio, otherwise she'll infect Moyles, who will infect, you know, the office staff and that sort of thing. So she's producing him from her bedroom at the moment, which is just
that's kind of the way it's got to go, isn't it? With, you know, luckily we can record, luckily we're, you know, blessed with amazing technology now, that we can record podcasts and stuff like that in isolation and still kind of put out content for people. And I guess that's what radio stations will have to do as well. Instead of being live, they'll have to broadcast pre-recorded shows or in podcast format, or, you know, I don't know, play. I guess you can play songs, can't you, without kind of any presenters?
Exactly.
Or, you know, I think it's just unprecedented times.
It's so strange. Every day as it comes at the moment, really, isn't it? But yeah, so should we try and talk about football rather than dwelling on this? Because I'm sick of hearing about it already, and it's going to be around for another few months. So let's talk about football.
Actually, I have got a bona fide FPL question, because I know we can't really talk about that much FPL on this episode. So we've got some questions from listeners that have sent us some different bits on Twitter. But my bona fide FPL question is, why have I gone up about 3,500 places when no games have been played? I've gone up in the Sport Bible League, the FF Community Shield. I'm climbing the Beat the FPL General League. I've gone up to 240,000 overall in the world. How have I climbed places when there's been no matches?
Well, I wish it was a complex answer, but it's because people had already taken hits before any of this happened. So obviously people that took -4s, -8s or whatever will have dropped places, and people that haven't will have gone up. So I got a small green arrow as well.
Thought it might be people just going, forget this and deleting the app, but it's because people took hits.
God, that's so unlucky. I mean, what do you reckon will happen then? So there could be like, it could even be like quadruple game weeks or something then, if they're trying to fit it in, because they can't have like, they can't go into like game week 40 or whatever, can they? They can't break it up like that, surely.
I mean, who knows? I mean, there's talk of either voiding the season altogether, starting again, no one goes up, no one goes down, or you give Liverpool the league and West Brom and Leeds get promoted and next season is 22 teams, so there's no relegation.
Yeah.
The other option is you wait and then finish the season.
We've had a question. I suppose we're going to answer three questions in this podcast, aren't we? The first one is from Hannes Potgeiger. Are there any details on the Premier League rules and regulations that touches on a scenario like we have at the moment? What do you do with a season that can now come to an end prematurely due to force majeure? Who wins and who goes down? I suppose the thing to say is that no, this is an unprecedented event where nobody knows what will happen next. I suppose, guys, if you could choose one option that you think is the best, like make a case for what should happen.
I don't know. It's such a strange one. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to finish the season. I think, like, we played the last game of Premier League football this season. I can't see it coming back at all. In terms of, like, relegation and giving the title, I mean, as much as I would love to see Liverpool not get the title, it would be ridiculous if they weren't given the title because, I mean, what are they, 25 points ahead or something like that? I think they were two games away from winning it or something like that. It would be incredibly harsh to see Liverpool not get the league title this way. But it's more at the other end where I'm more concerned, because there's so many teams who can still go down. You know, teams that can come up from the Championship will miss out on so much money, because basically how it works in the Championship is you throw a lot of money at one season and that season, you know, it pays off and you get promoted. You don't really build season after season. That's why like Derby keep missing out, because they're just missing out on that little bit of investment every season. So things that Leeds are top of the Championship at the moment, they should come up. But why should Bournemouth go down when they've still got, I don't know, 8 games or whatever it is to rescue themselves? So I think it's probably wise just doing the season again and just calling it void. Somebody's got to miss out, and unfortunately it's probably going to be the teams in the Championship, because the Premier League is significantly more powerful commercially, financially, that sort of thing.
I think you have to. I mean, ultimately you can give Liverpool the league, but mathematically they haven't won it yet. So Their yeah. fans aren't going to be ecstatic about that. None of the other football fans are going to be that happy about that. And you know, there's always going to be that age-old thing of, yeah, but you didn't win it, did you? Because there was
yeah, exactly.
there was 8 games left or 9 games left. You didn't win it. I'm sorry, you didn't. It wasn't yeah. mathematically safe. Like, you might have lost. It almost certainly wouldn't have happened, but you might have lost all remaining games. Like,
yeah, and you've got to remember as well, Man City played less games.
And, what, and you know, and also it's yeah. like, it's a knock-on effect for everyone, isn't it? City is still in the Champions League. United are in the Europa League this season, but a battle in for Champions League could have easily got Champions League. So if you null and void the season, yeah. they've got to play Europa League again next season. There's going to be teams like Leicester, who are third, who won't have any European football next season because of this.
Yeah.
So what are they? I mean, but how do you do it? Because how else do you do it? It's got to be one rule for everyone. You can't declare Leicester champions and then, you can't declare Liverpool champions and then not give Leicester European football next season, or not give, you know,
yeah.
or keep teams up that are in the relegation zone. Like, what? How are you supposed to do it? And it is unprecedented, but at the moment, the fairest thing to do is to either null and void the season, or you just put next season back completely and change the whole calendar around, and then you can play the remainder of the season when football comes back, and then start the next season in December or January or whatever, and do it that way.
Yeah, that could be a way of doing it, like a half season sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, or in order to finish this one,
that would work out pretty well as well, because there's going to be the European Championships as well in the summertime. So, you know, if everybody around Europe plays a half a season and agrees to pick up on the same week. But then again, like Everton had an awful start to the season and we're like in the relegation zone when we got rid of Silva. So we'd have to start the season
yeah.
halfway through so, in the relegation so, zone. So it's so difficult yeah, for...
Something has to change, doesn't it? Something has to change. It has to either go... I think the absolute fairest way would be just wait. And then when football does come back, you play the remainder of the season, and doesn't matter about the dates and everything else. You just work around that, and maybe the dates change, and there's the Qatar World Cup, which is supposed to start in December anyway. Maybe yeah. you line it up to finish a season in November, and then the World Cup's in December, and it just changes. I mean, something's got to change, unfortunately. And as much as I'd love the season to be null and void and Liverpool not win the league, ultimately that's not fair either. So the fairest solution is to just wait and finish the season. Whenever that happens, it doesn't matter. You just change dates around.
So there won't be like a transfer window or anything like that.
What else can you do?
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode.
I suppose that leads kind of nicely onto our second loosely talking points for today. So FPL_blonde. Has slid into our DMs on Twitter. You know, first of all, actually, we had a really nice comment from FPL_blonde, because Luke, you put a tweet out saying, you know, do you guys want an episode this week? We're not obviously talking about FPL because there's nothing to talk about. And FPL Blonde said, yes, the importance of routine. Keep talking football, keep posting, podding, communicating. Staying connected helps to promote better mental health. I'm 10 days in, the banter on here keeps me sane. So, you know, good. What? Thank you for that comment, because
it
yes,
made us
really
realise
nice
that we probably should.
Down.
Then, in our DMs, posted an article from a website called statsbomb.com. What they're saying is that we should try and get football to come back as soon as possible. And the argument within this article is that if you test every single player, if the staff, the players are all proven to not have coronavirus, should they still be allowed to play now, and does that bring it forward? This is what they say in conclusion. I'll just read it word for word. So it is from Ted Knutson, the CEO and co-founder of StatsBomb. And in the conclusion it says, the world needs a lifeline right now. Professional sports teams, and how they're structured and slightly walled off from society already, are already capable of isolation. By doing so in the right way, they can resume competition much sooner than societal lockdown caused by coronavirus will go away. In short, sport is capable of providing this lifeline. It will take coordination from teams, governing bodies, broadcasters and athletes to make it happen, but live sport would provide a significant and necessary distraction from the current crisis for populations stuck at home. It would also provide an easy win for embattled governments that could desperately use some good news to deliver to voters right now. Please make it happen. When you actually read that, you can see that argument, can't you, that should sports teams try and outpace society, I suppose.
I mean, he's obviously so passionate about football and that sort of thing, but you just got to think about the general health.
Yeah, it's also a very good article to write right now. Think how many clicks that's going to have.
Yeah.
It's also very, it's very clever. I get what he's saying and I get his passion. It's also a very clever article to release right now. There's going to be a lot of this going about of people's, you know, we're almost wading into it ourselves by even releasing this podcast because everybody's talking about it. Everybody's got an opinion. And the most articles that are going to be clicked on right now are things like this, which propose kind of radical solutions. I mean, ultimately, what is he getting at? I mean, I'm sure they do great work at StatsBomb, but what is he suggesting ultimately? You've got to test every single player and staff member,
which takes about 24 hours anyway to get results.
Yeah, they're all going to travel. I don't see how that works. I really don't. I mean,
no.
I get the kind of the premise behind it.
You've also got to remember as well, like, all right, they're humans, but they're also assets for these football clubs. Like, they've spent millions and millions of pounds on these assets, essentially. You know, like Fernandes going to Manchester United, what did he go for? 70 million or something ridiculous like that? Would you put a £70 million investment on the line to play football? It'd be an absolute bonkers decision to just do something like that for the sake of, you know, playing some football behind closed doors.
What exactly is he saying, Ben, that they should roll out, so get tests for
everyone at the football club?
Yeah, so test everybody in the league, and if everybody tests negative, then start playing football again, but behind closed doors.
So, just read you a little bit more from it.
Sure.
As we now know, the Western world is in a state of near lockdown and social distancing for the medium term. The viral pandemic is not going to disappear in 4 weeks' time. The situation is probably not going to change significantly in 12 weeks' time. Current scientific advice worries about the status quo continuing for the next 12 to 18 months. No matter what, the world and our priorities will look very different coming out the other side of this. Agreed. However, human passion for sport and competition is not going to disappear. Only 1 week on, people are already struggling with the massive crater in our entertainment lives created by a pause in all the major sporting leagues. As a society, especially in Europe, we really need football back. I'm writing today because I believe it is possible to bring back football sooner rather than later with some coordinated action, etc.
I almost think it's irresponsible for him to even write this.
Well, you know what?
He's not an expert. He's not a scientist. He knows nothing about health, as far as I'm aware. He's not a doctor. I think it's almost irresponsible.
It sounds like he's been on Twitter for like the last 48 hours and not left the house, and he's been kind of spun into a stupor. And honestly, that's what it sounds like, because the things you read on social media when you're in this mindset of, I can't leave the house, if I go outside, I'll get sick, you get stuck in a constant scrolling spree through Twitter, and that's what's been happening to like so many people the last few days. That's why people are panic buying toilet roll. I can't get any sausages in any shops anywhere, and all I want is bangers and mash for dinner.
What do you think, Ben?
So this is just to kind of go back to the article before I tell you what I think, because it's something that actually I've been thinking about a lot in terms of sport and its impact on society. I think we've really noticed it going. But this is what the article says. It's not going to be easy. It takes a small army of staff to make sure a football team can operate. Players, staff and their families will also have to practice strict isolation to make sure things stay compartmentalised. But to be honest, the government's already asking normal humans to do this. It will also take coordination among the scheduling bodies to postpone matches and reschedule them should players or teams have isolated outbreaks. Flexibility and reacting to new problems that arise in the coming months remains paramount. So essentially what he's saying is that if all the teams are careful enough and all the staff are careful enough and they all practice the right things and they self-isolate when they're not on the pitch or whatever else, I'm not sure how seriously you guys took this when it first started to kind of appear in the news. I think one of the big turning points in British society was the day that the Premier League teams didn't shake hands. 22 players not shaking hands isn't a massive thing, and it's not going to massively at all affect this outbreak of this virus. It was a symbol. Even if scientifically it is possible that you can self-isolate teams and that they can still operate in their families, whatever this guy's saying in this article, even if you can bring football back, they shouldn't, because I think it's a symbol to the world that actually this is a serious thing, and it's very real that this thing could still peak with a vengeance. So
and I saw you say it's a global symbol as well, because the Premier League is broadcast in, you know, 200 countries plus worldwide. It's not just going to affect, you know, the Brits and our sort of thing. You know, it's going to affect people in every far reaching corner of the globe. So I just think it sets an example. Because I think Syria was the first one to get cancelled, wasn't it? Because Italy was the first European country to really get it full whack. And obviously it's going horrifically bad over there. If they brought it back over there, and in Italy, I'm telling you, they're so much more passionate about football than they are in England over here.
Whoa, so that's a whole new can of worms there, Rich.
Well, yeah.
Gerard v. Scholes. Who's better?
Yeah, let's do that. Oh my God, I was listening to TalkSport the other day. They had Stuart Pearce talking about his 11 favourite punk tracks. They're just running out of things to talk about. It's just desperate.
Wow.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Get in touch on email. triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
So what are we going to do for the rest of the podcast?
Well, Luke, you tweeted out, you know, do you want us to do the podcast? If you do, what should we talk about? And we had a tweet from Adam Woolborn, previous guest on the podcast.
Hey,
what culture wrestling man, my best mate, Adam Woolborn. And he posed a very good question. What players will you always defend in real life because of FPL, FIFA, Championship Manager, etc.? So basically, who can do no wrong in your eyes, even if they're an absolute disgrace on the pitch in real life? Who will you defend to the hilt because of their virtual abilities?
Well, I played Championship Manager 0102 religiously as a kid. It was like just the most incredible football manager game. And I continued to play it when I was older. There was a whole community and forum of people that keep the game alive. And there was like lots of updates and patches released to update the game in terms of, you know, to update the players and make it more realistic and all that stuff. Just such a good game. And I think any football manager after that, although it's much more in-depth and realistic manager experience, I don't think you can beat that Championship Manager 0102. So for me, there's like so many players on there that I remember. Like, you could always get Taribo West on a free
at
the start of the season.
What was the American fella, Freddie Adu? Wasn't he on that
Adu
one?
Yeah, he was quality. Toe Madeira as well. Toe Madeira.
Yeah,
Toe Madeira, it was from Portugal. He had 20 finishing and his other attributes were awful, but he just bagged goals after goal after goal. He was quality.
Oh my God.
There was loads, wasn't there?
I mean, I didn't do Championship Manager. I did Football Manager. And basically, at uni, first year of uni, when everyone was going out partying and getting smashed 4 days a week, me and my housemates stayed in and played Football Manager.
Superb.
And I remember we all started off as the three teams. There's three of us, three lads, obviously. Started as the three teams who were expected to get relegated from the Championship that year. We all started off with them and built our teams up through like season after season after season. And I was Millwall. And I signed this young lad called Joe Mason. He's from the Republic of Ireland. And he played in Millwall for so long. He was just like standing off like Cardiff or whatever for like £500,000. Started to get Millwall higher and higher up the table. Eventually got promoted to the Premier League. And Joe Mason was just scoring like 25, 30 goals every season. He was absolutely blitzing it. I remember every goal was literally set the stats to play on the defensive last shoulder and tap it in one-on-one. Basically Jamie Vardy. But back in 2010, and Joe Mason. But he never, ever got an Ireland call-up. And then one day when I was Millwall in the Premier League, he got an England call-up and started playing for England and then became the England captain. So I brought him into Millwall, built him into the Premier League and got him to become England captain and then won the Champions League with Millwall, with Joe Mason for about 10 seasons. He's an absolute legend. Don't know where he is now, but I'm going to look him up, actually. Let's see where he is. Oh, he's still playing? Oh, he's only 28. Oh my God, in my head he's like 34 because that's how old he was on my last Football Manager. Oh, he joined Milton Keynes in the summer. Look, this season, 3 goals in 4 appearances. See, he's still doing it. He's an absolute legend.
There was another player called Stefan Solarkovic that you could get for $1 million. I'm talking very specifically here about, but I know there'll be people out there that remember this stuff from Champman 0102. I think Adam Wilborn as well said about Vincenzo Montella. Because Roma was so good. Roma were like, when I used to play as Man United, of course, all the time. And Roma were like the main rivals for the Champions League. And they like smashed everybody. They had like Cafu, Montella, Totti as well, who was superb on that game. So Adam Wilborn said Montella could do no wrong in his eyes because of his form on Championship Manager. What about on FIFA? Is there anyone on FIFA that you just love?
I remember years ago, I think it was the 07 one. Which had a quality soundtrack. It had like Sabian, like Boy Killed Boy, like unbelievable soundtrack. I had an unreal Everton team. I remember my strike partnership, 4-4-2, as it was in 2007. I had a Brazilian guy called Rafael Subis. He was like getting 25 goals like every season, absolute quality. Partnered with Kevin Volland, who's like banging them in for Leverkusen this season. Like, it's like the perfect partnership.
Do you know why we're the perfect partnership, Rich?
Go on.
Because we just set each other up. Speaking of brilliant FIFA soundtracks, that feels like a lovely segue into a bit of cross promotion.
Exactly. I mean, how's
it been going?
Yeah, sick. I had a band called Bang Bang Romeo in the other day who supported Pink on her world tour. So they like played Anfield, played Hampden Park, played
brilliant.
Wembley Stadium, and the Snuts. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're supporting Jerry Cinnamon, who's playing Hampden.
He's a belter.
He is a belter, absolutely. But yeah, no, mate, sick. The views are going up and up and up. I basically spent the last month editing, so I'm going to have a break from that for a few weeks. But yeah, if you want the perfect FIFA soundtrack, just search it on YouTube, and there's loads of FIFA and loads of new music, and it's just like, it's perfect. So yeah, give that a go if you can.
I've not watched it, but I'm going to now. It sounds brilliant.
what a
great idea as well. There's something quite satisfying about watching other people play FIFA, I think, particularly when goals go in and like the reactions, and that is funny.
Oh, I mean, the Snuts one, because they're from West Lothian in Scotland, and we did England v Scotland.
I think
Scotland.
I saw a clip on your Instagram of that.
Oh, they got so passionate about it, honestly. And there was, usually I only get two members of the band, and all four of them were like, we want to play. So all four of them were like sat on my couch with me. They're like leaning across the back. It looks absolutely ridiculous. But honestly, yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah,
brilliant.
It's good fun.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
So if, let's say, we had to self-isolate for 14 days, or if the country does go on lockdown and we're all inside, what would your plans be, boys, like football-wise? I mean, I just thought then we could maybe start a little Triple Captain book club, right? Where you read a football book, like an autobiography or there's a couple of FPL books out there. Read it for a week and then we discuss the book on the podcast, or, you know, something along those lines. Or we all start seasons on Football Manager, or all start seasons on FIFA and update like that. What would you do to keep the football addiction going? What would you do football wise if we go on lockdown and we have to stay inside for however long?
What I used to love on Sky Sports was that they used to do Premier League years. And they used to stick them out like every day in the middle of the day. And they don't do
brilliant
Premier League years anymore, I don't think. Or they stopped doing them about 6 years ago. They still see like the old ones get, you know, thrown into the schedule every now and then. But I think now more than ever, it'd be nice to, you know, see some of the old footage. Especially as a United fan as well, you'd quite like to see the glory years get replayed on TV.
I used to love watching Premier League years.
Yeah.
I think also I've heard a lot of good things about this Brazil documentary on Amazon Prime called All or Nothing. Which is supposed to be really good, and there's others.
Sunderland one's meant to be good as well.
The Sunderland one is really good. That's
Juventus or AC Milan.
There's another one on Amazon Prime. It's a team in Manchester. I really can't think of their name.
Yeah. Hang on. In Manchester, so obviously you're talking about the Manchester City documentary. There's also a Salford City documentary, but there isn't a Manchester United documentary.
No, neither will there be. We don't need to whore ourselves out.
Yeah, you know what, lads? You know what I'm going to do if we have to self-isolate? I'm going to take a team who's one of the worst teams on FIFA and just keep building them up to make sure they win the Champions League. That's what I'm going to do.
What difficulty?
Beginner. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's a beginner. No, I think a professional. I'm not quite a world-class man, but I think a professional.
That's the classic thing to do, isn't it? Take a team. I used to do it on Championship Manager as well. Take a team in the Conference or the Conference North or whatever and get them right up to Champions League glory.
And then you have to replay the playoff final 5 times. To make sure you get promoted, because you're not wasting that
save
whole
it.
Season.
Save it. Yeah, save it.
So yeah, I think just in terms of what we're going to do going forward is just take every day as it comes. And at the moment, we're planning to still release podcasts. And so please get in touch with us. I think if there's any time to chat to each other and reach out to each other, it's now. So get in touch on Twitter at @TripleCaptain3 or on Instagram. Just let us know anything you'd like us to talk about or that you'd like to listen to, or maybe you fancy coming on as a guest and talking about your football team. Like, we're welcome to, we're open to offers, and we'll send you instructions on how to do that from home, so you don't have to travel unnecessarily and have any non-essential contact. So yeah, keep it going, and let us know your thoughts on this episode, and stay in touch and stay safe, everybody.
And if anyone wants a game of FIFA, you can play me on PS4, or you can play Luke on Xbox as well. So
yeah. Yes, that's a great idea. Great idea. My username is The Full Ticket. Capital T, capital F, capital T. The Full Ticket. What's yours, Rich?
Mine's just Wolfie 1992, so not as creative, unfortunately. It's just my nickname and my year of birth. So add me on PS4 and just message me on there, and I'll have you a game of that if you want.
Great.
I never promoted my PS4 gamer tag before. That's a brand new one.
You're gonna be inundated, mate.
I know.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Not Boys.
Hey, I'm Rachel Rood, and you might know me from the radio or from Ibiza Weekender. And despite being on a reality TV show for 2 whole summers surrounded by gorgeous tanned men in shorts, I've got an ongoing problem. I am always single, and I've been racking my brains to work out what's been going so wrong. Of course, there's one common denominator, boys. I keep getting messed around by them, and all I want is a real man. Now, in my new podcast, Men Not Boys, me and my best mate, Melissa Reeves, we have a couple of glasses of wine and discuss all the gory details about our past relationships. This is a straight talking, no nonsense, scout siren chat. These are real life stories which actually happened to us, and we are very honest. Maybe a little bit too much at times. So if you're easily offended, or an ex, or my dad, this may not be the podcast for you.
Men Not Boys from Sound Rebel. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.